Welcome to Help a Girl Out. Yes, that's right. Your favorite girls are back for another episode. I know that you guys have been waiting so long to hear from Katie and I again, as if we don't talk enough already. Katie, how is it going? Are you having a good day? Are you swell? Have there been any more unfortunate events, or are you keeping it casual?
Today has been a pretty awesome day. Yeah, no complaints over here.
Okay, that's good. I feel like the main reason why your day has been awesome is because you got to speak to me for a prolonged period of time, but maybe I'm incorrect.
No, I would definitely agree with that. And also, a piece of advice, if there's a friend that you feel like you don't get to spend enough time with, start a podcast with them, because then you get to talk every single day and hear their beautiful voice.
Oh, so sweet. And for those of you who, obviously none of you know this, I send Katie approximately 7,900 voice messages a day talking about shit we need to do. So
she's not exaggerating, and literally no one else in my life sends me voice messages, because you can't always listen to them, where like a text, it's like, okay, I could read that and respond at any time. And I wake up every morning and my routine is I just bring my phone into the bathroom with me and I put my AirPods in and I listen to her as I'm like brushing my teeth and washing my face and doing my hair and getting ready to go to work. I'm just listening to Rachel's voice, and she sends at least like at the beginning of my day, I don't know, anywhere 4 minutes. To like, I am not exaggerating, like 26 minutes worth of her voice recorded. And then I sometimes I like get some of them and not all of them. So now I'm making her send me an emoji when she's done sending all of her voice messages so that I know that she's done.
Yeah, I chose a good emoji. I'm great. No, my phone doesn't let me send them like any voice messages longer than 10 seconds now. And since Katie doesn't have Facebook, I have to just send her 10 second clips of my voice telling her about ideas for episodes and all the stuff we want to do, which is how we got to where we are today. And the reason why we are recording this episode is last night, I was on Facebook and I saw this post and it made me laugh. And I was like, oh my God, we have to talk about this on Help a Girl Out. So last night I saw something, which I don't know how I've never seen this before. I guess I've maybe heard of it. But I saw an anti-bucket list. Okay, so we've all heard of the bucket list. Okay, everybody's bucket list. There's a lot of things on my bucket list that I've crossed off with Katie because I am hashtag blessed. But the anti-bucket list, I was like, what on earth? And then I was kind of thinking about it. And I was like, oh my God, there are so many things, mainly stupid shit that Katie and I do, that afterward I'm like, yeah, I never need to do that again. I'm all good. And that's exactly what an anti-bucket list is. It can be things that you know you don't want to do, even if you haven't done them before. It can be something that you've done and you were like, yeah, once was enough. I am tapping out. It can be anything. It can be something you're scared of. It can be things that you're just like not interested in. And I just thought it was so funny. And Katie and I just kind of have a long anti-bucket list, let's be real, because we have learned from our mistakes. You know, there's some things like eating camp food. Never got to touch that with a 10-foot pole again. So there's kind of a lot there, and we would love to hear what you guys think about the anti-bucket list. But first, we'll fill you in on a few things that you will not catch us doing anytime soon. Katie, what's the first one? What do you think? What is the top item on the anti-bucket list?
This one relates more to myself from past mistakes, but I will never not eat enough before going on a wine tour. There will be another episode that details that horrible, terrible event another time, because it's kind of a long story. But just know, like, I probably shouldn't go to Napa Valley for like another 2 years or so.
I wouldn't be surprised if you're banned from Napa Valley, let's be real.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a new hair color and
a new hat to disguise yourself.
Good idea. But yeah, it's important, and honestly, just to eat enough before drinking in general. I think sometimes we're like, oh, we'll be fine, and it's like, no, you should really make sure that you eat before. So that's on my anti-bucket list is, you know, I will never do that again. I will never not eat enough before going on a wine tour.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, and that is one way to help a girl out is to remind everybody that it's okay to eat before you drink. Because I was always like, oh my God, I have to not eat that much because otherwise I'm not going to get enough, like, you know, you're not going to get enough buzz from the drink. So then you're going to buy another drink. You know, just do you, do what you need to do. Either way, you know, it's all up to you, but eating is definitely a good idea. Speaking of eating, something that's on my anti-bucket list is eating this thing called prawn. Absolutely hate it. Actually, we were slightly touching on this in our previous episode, Brand Flakes Theory. Make sure you go back and listen to that if you haven't yet, because you are missing out on a groundbreaking theory. But anyway, we touched on eating food that you don't like or like food that you know makes you sick. You could not pay me. Okay, you could actually probably pay me not that much money. So that's not a good statement. But prawn? Like, no. Prawn is like Australian shrimp, but it's ginormous. And it's like, oh, it has all these little phalanges flailing around. And then it has eyes, like black beaded eyes. And it's, oh my God. And they like have them on these nice plates and platters. And it's like, exquisite, and oh hell no, not interested. So if you like trying new things, maybe you can be more adventurous. And it's very common here, but I don't like popcorn shrimp, don't like butterfly shrimp, don't like jumbo shrimp, certainly don't like prawn. So I never need to see those little black eyes coming anywhere near my mouth. Not happening.
I fully agree with that. I don't think I can eat anything that has a face. Like, it has to be disguised. So, like, I could eat it if it, like, there's a lot of seafood that I'll eat if it's in sushi. But if I have to actually, like, see it as the fish itself, I'm like, I can't, I just can't. I like meat, but I don't want to know what you were.
Yeah. No, that's so true, Katie. I am exactly with you. I don't want to see any resemblance to, like, what you were, where you lived, what happened. And I'm not trying to trash Australian cuisine because it is really, really, really good. And prawn's just part of that. And all for Aussies eating prawn if that's what they like to do and that's what they love. I just personally not having it. That's all.
Okay, next on the list for me. This is something I thought I wanted to do, like, or was at least open-minded about like a couple years ago. I considered it, but after seeing a video, I think it was the guy on our snuba boat. I think he's the one that showed it to us, but it's of cage diving with sharks, and they did it in Mexico, and the shark got into the cage with the guys, and then, yeah, you can look it up, and it's graphic and scary, and anyways, I never want to put myself in a situation where that could happen. And I'm a big fan of Shark Week. Like, I tune in every year. I'm all about it. I think sharks are really cool. I understand where they get confused and think that we're food. And I don't necessarily think that that's the shark's fault. I mean, we are the ones with the highly developed brains. Why are we putting ourselves in cages and then pouring out like the chum, like the, you know, why are we doing that? I mean, if you think about it, the shark is just following its instincts, but what, that's not our instinct. Our instinct isn't to do that. So for me, ever since that video, I've been like, yeah, I don't think I would want to do that.
Oh yeah. No, I feel you, Katie, because I think you're right. And I've never thought of it that way, but the sharks, like, they're just doing what they do. And then we're just dumb enough to be like, yeah. And I mean, if you want to do that, go for it. We are not trying to judge anyone for wanting to do the things that are on our anti-bucket list. I just think you've got a point, Katie. And also, like, that movie, like 47 meters down, where the tank becomes detached from the hook, and then it just sinks to the bottom and they all die. Like, there are many other ways that I would like to go out. That is not one of them.
Absolutely.
So it's snuba or nothing, as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed. I don't think there's more that needs to be said.
Yeah. No, I am right there with you. That takes us to our next point. another kind of animal based anti bucket list item for me is a snake show and tell. So I am not big on snakes. My mom is actually terrified of snakes, and I always thought that I was okay around them. Like, I certainly don't like them. I don't want them as a pet. I don't think they're cool. I don't want to like play with them, but I thought I could like handle them. But in recent years, since I've been in Australia, since I first studied abroad, I've realized that I'm actually petrified of snakes, and something about them sets my, what's the word, spine, my tingles. I don't know. I tingle. That sounds weird. But it's true. I get so, oh, I feel so ill just even knowing that it's a thing. And obviously Australia has really big snakes. I've never seen a snake in the wild, knock on the freaking wood, but Katie and I in Cairns, which we will go into that story in another episode, as we say every time, because we have approximately 1,700 million stories, it's casual, but just a really quick one, we went to see the koalas, and then it was this wildlife sanctuary at the top of the city building, so I don't know how much of a sanctuary it is, but okay. And they had, you know, where they do the little show and tell, they show you the crocodile, they bring out the snake, they bring out this, and everybody's supposed to touch it. And I was like losing it. And Katie's like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, oh my God. Cause it was really humid in there. We were all hot and sweaty and the snake. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And she's in, and the girl, it was her first day of like training. And so she was like handling the snake.
And the snake was like coiling around her. Like it was definitely like trying to strangle her.
Yeah. And you, and she was like, you know, she had another person there, but she's like, it's my first day actually doing this. And I'm like, oh Lord. So and yeah, I did not like,
we're not talking about like a little snake, you guys. We're talking about like the, aren't they called like carpenter pythons? Like this thing is huge, huge. And it's just coiling around her whole body and it's big and it, ugh.
And there were all the little kids like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I felt like, okay, I can't be a pussy. I have to actually do it. Like I have to touch the snake because like everybody else is. And these 2-year-olds are like hugging it. So I reached out and touched it. And I was like, I'm going to throw up. So promptly went to Domino's instead. So it's fine.
Pretty sure I have video footage. So we'll include that.
Oh yeah. Video footage is prime.
Okay. Also along, wow, all of these kind of tie into that one trip. Something big on my anti-bucket list. This is something that's really important, and it did cause me a lot of like stress and honestly kind of like pain, but I'm also happy that it happened and that I could learn a lesson at a young age. Traveling abroad with other people, it's really, really important to know ahead of time if you're like compatible. And I thought that this friend and I were like gonna be just fine together because we both had traveled abroad independently quite a bit. So I figured like they would know what to do and like be a good traveler in that sense of like, you know, looking things up, doing their research, and being respectful to the culture and all of that. And this was a friend of mine from college that Rachel had never met, but Rachel's so nice and sweet that, like, obviously I never worry about her getting along with people because how do you not love Rachel? And unfortunately, this friend of mine, like, didn't budget enough money, but, like, severely under, so I was like having to cover things and Rachel was covering things, and I don't mind covering for my friends or here or there, or if it's like, OMG, like I totally messed up, I promise I'll pay you back type of thing. But she did not seem concerned with ever like settling her debt. And it was getting to the point where we are spending like hundreds and hundreds of dollars on this girl. Like she's unable to buy even like a water or something, you know, and it's just like, you're not going to like leave them to fend for themselves, but I don't know. It was not a good experience. And I've felt a bit uncomfortable with that friendship ever since, because I'm not the type to be like, hey, you owe me X, X, Y, and Z, you know, like that just, it's not in my nature. It's really uncomfortable, but it definitely made me like realize, okay, I've always thought when I was traveling alone, and I was still visiting friends, it wasn't like I was completely by myself, but I was doing the traveling there on my own. And I always was like, oh, it'd be so fun if I had another person here so that I could go and do this, or, you know, maybe they would want to see this or things like that. And it made me like realize that when I'm by myself, I do a really good job, and I actually like read up before I go somewhere and check, you know, which of my credit cards will work. That was another issue, you know, and just things like that, where you're not burdening the people that you're visiting. And it really hurt my feelings. But at the same time, everything was okay. It turned out just fine. Like, thankfully, I had budgeted enough to help and cover. And it will allow me to be wiser about who accompanies me on future travels.
Yeah, I remember that trip vividly. And you're right, it was an amazing trip. But yeah, I think it is hard when, and Katie and I are both, which we're going to do a money episode later on. So we'll kind of go into this in more depth because we love the moolah. But we're both pretty casual in terms of like, we want to help our friends out. We want to, you know, we're not like big ballers, but we like to, you know, do like, if we can afford to do something cool on a trip, like something, you know, within reason, you know, we want to do something, we don't want to miss out. Like, we work hard, you know, we want to enjoy it. And I think it's hard when you're trying, we're both trying to be really casual with it. Like, you know, not trying to be like, you owe me this or you owe me that. But then if you like, if it builds up and builds up and builds up, it's like hard because it's going against the grain of how you want to be. But eventually, like, there has to be kind of like a middle point. And Katie and I were like, hi, I don't think we have any money in the bank anymore, but it's fine.
Straight drained. Yeah, you know, like, it's just like, it feels very disrespectful. And then it's like, okay, well, I don't know. Like, I never thought you would treat me this way. I didn't think you would take advantage of me. And then, like, you know, talking to like you and our friends and our family about it that, you know, we're close with, and they're all like, oh, absolutely not. Like, that's not okay. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you're like, well, a real friend doesn't do that though. So, you know, but good lesson to learn.
Yeah. Helping a girl out. Remember that traveling with a friend or a significant other will test your relationship, and it will either be fantastic and bring you closer together, or it will raise things that you need to be aware of. So keep that in mind, y'all.
Yeah, maybe we should make like a survey of like a travel buddy survey.
Yeah.
And you can get results to see how compatible you are to travel with one another, because honestly, expectations are very different when going somewhere. Like, are you the planning type, or are you just like kind of figure it out, go with the flow, spontaneous type? Because that will be different. Do you want to go out? Do you want to get up early? Do you want to sleep in? Are there certain places that are must-sees? Are you more into the nature side? Are you more into like the going out nightlife type of thing? How much money are you going to spend on excursions, and like, you know, what's important
to
you?
How often are you going to eat?
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Whole other episode, I promise, will be on that situation. You will be captivated by it. Rachel, what is your next thing on the list?
Okay. My next anti-bucket list item is a slingshot ride. So as you all have seen from my photo in the soon-to-be video, I have skydived twice. I feel like I almost died twice, even though I was perfectly fine. I like thrill rides. I love roller coasters. I love amusement parks. I love all that shit. I'm all about it, but I always get really nervous, and I always think I'm going to die, no matter how many times I've been on a ride, or no matter how many times I've done something. And I've always kind of been like, oh, those slingshot rides, you know, the ones that you see at the fair where you're like in a little bubble and then it slingshots you and you go flying into the air. Well, I've always kind of been like, oh, I would do that, because what's the difference? Like, I skydived. It can't be that bad. But then we were at a family gathering and someone was talking about how in her hometown in Canada, they had one of those rides, and like 10 years ago or something, it snapped while the people were in it and they died. Like, it snapped, one of the cables snapped.
I think that thing actually malfunctions more than we hear about.
I think so too. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really want to take my chances, because I do not want to go out like that. And how would you know? Because It's supposed to slingshot you. So how would you really know that it was slingshotting you far enough? Like, you wouldn't even know. I don't know. Oh,
Oh my
God.
God, it'd be better if you didn't know.
Yeah. So I'm still kind of on the fence about that one. I think if I had enough wine and somebody was really hyping me up, I would maybe be like, okay, sure, but probably not. Right now I'm like, oh, I don't want to die. I'm gonna get married, I'm gonna have family eventually. I really don't want to die, but I also want to live my life and do fun things. But I don't know, the slingshot ride is really sketchy at the moment.
And you've never tried one?
No, I've never been on one. That's probably one of the only rides at like an amusement park that I haven't been on, because at Valley Fair there it was always extra. It was like $15 to do that, and then the line's long and you're always doing the other rides.
Yeah.
So I haven't really been in a position to do one, but I would not do one at like a county fair,
Oh,
like one that
agreed.
you just build up. No, heck no. That thing's falling apart. These criminal, I just no, can't. Not, I'm not trying to say that everybody who works at a county fair is a criminal. It's not what I'm trying to say. I was just trying to say that sometimes the it looks a bit sketchy, and some of the
It's
people
like
I,
the budget fair.
yeah, and some of the staff have been really like rare toward me, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm nervous. So yeah, just watch yourself. Watch yourself. Katie, what's next?
I don't know. I feel my next one is more of a personal choice, and I don't want it to come off the wrong way. I just myself had a really bad experience. So if you are a fan of this airline, please don't take offense. I would prefer to not fly Spirit Airlines again. They have a direct flight from Los Angeles to Minneapolis, and it's a red eye, and it's always at like 11 o'clock. And then you get in, I think, at like 6 in the morning or like 5:30 or something. And anyways, my first year, like after moving, I did that a few times with some of the other girls I work with who are also from Minnesota. And it's just that like it's really tight and cramped, and the seats are like really uncomfortable. And I was sitting next to really, really smelly people, and there was like I couldn't breathe, and this is obviously like pre-COVID, so no masks, but it was so painful. And then you have to pay for all your luggage, which is like honestly equivalent to like a Delta Airlines ticket at that point. And you have to pay for the water, and you don't get a snack. And I'm living for those Delta cookies, the Biscoff, like I love those cookies. To me, that's worth like the extra price. And I mean, if you haven't seen the memes for the Spirit Airlines, you should look them up because they're incredible. But one of the times as we landed, it was the shakiest, scariest thing, and I thought for sure we're dying. And then we all landed and it was just dead silence, and someone goes, "Well, that felt good." Because it was just the scariest landing. It was just like, "Oh, we're gonna tip over. There's no way we make this." Like, and credit to Spirit Airlines, I always got where I needed to go. But another issue I take with them is that when I'm on my return flight, Spirit, there's like a kind of like a totem pole for all the airlines, and it equates to like how much the tickets cost. So obviously if you were flying with like one of the bigger airlines like Southwest or United or Delta, you paid more for your ticket. So in Minnesota, it snows for half the year and snows a lot. So they have to delay flights and things. And on the totem pole, who do you think's on the very, very bottom? If you said Spirit Airlines, you're correct. So Spirit's always the one getting bumped, which makes sense. If you paid $70 for your ticket and someone else paid 300, like you should obviously be the one getting bumped. So I've had a habit of like whenever I'm flying back into LA, my flight's always like delayed, and it's not even just like delayed like once, it's like delayed like four times. It's like I'm at the airport for like 5 or 6 hours at that point, which again, like I chose a budget airline, so like what do you expect? But yeah, I just haven't had great experiences, and I don't think that that's what they're aiming for. I will say that one time, I'm not even positive that this happened because it was on like a red eye, and you know, like I was probably like half asleep, but I have this vivid memory of like mid-flight, like mid but towards end of flight, they like turned all the lights on and then came on the intercom and were like, "Hello, Spirit Airlines passengers. Please lift up the, what do you call that? Like the little flap table thing, you know?"
Oh, tray table.
The tray table. "And if you have the yellow circular Spirit Airlines sticker under yours, you've won 20,000 flyer miles." And then everyone's like lifting their tray tables. And the girl next to me had it. And she won.
Wow.
But it's like, okay, so she gets another Spirit flight.
Like, oh my gosh. But that's pretty cool. I want to win that.
But I've flown with them like probably 5 or 6 times total. Maybe even more than that, honestly. And it's never happened any other time. So I'm not sure if it really happened or if I dreamt it. So if anyone else has encountered that, mystery flyer mile reward on a Spirit flight, could you let me know so I know I'm not going crazy?
Oh my god, that is hysterical, Katie, that you can't remember. It happens so sometimes. Shit happens and you're like, oh, what? Did that, like, was that so weird that I made that up? So I feel you. I've been there. I agree with you. I think Spirit's a fine airline, but it wouldn't be my top choice. Mainly because when I asked for a cup of water on the way back from Vegas, she said, "I can't give you one unless you pay, but you can have a cup of ice cubes." So I was handed a cup of ice cubes and I sucked on them until they became water. So, okay, that was a weird statement. I did, like, I was really thirsty. So
that's actually
anyway, nice. I'm going to leave.
That's actually, I'm just going to leave her that she gave you.
No, it was really sweet. I mean, it was nice. She was like, "I'm sorry, I can't give you one for free, but I can give you ice cubes." But it was just more, I was like, the policy, like the fact that you can't get an ice cube coming from the desert. Water, I mean.
I've always wondered when people are like choking to death or something on a flight like that, if they like bend the rules or if they're like, hand over that card first.
I know. They're really, oh God. It's like pay to put your elbow on the flight. I'm like, okay. I have some more airline stories. I reckon that could be a whole entire episode, just airline travel, because it's been a bit real. It's been a hot mess. I mean, we ran to an airport gate one time. It was all fine.
Again,
okay,
a video footage of that. But Rachel, go ahead and give us your last anti bucket list item.
Okay. Well, I just got to say, I forgot there was video footage. So that's fantastic. Excellent news. More video footage. Okay. So the last anti bucket list item for the day is something that I always kind of knew this about myself. I don't think anyone was expecting me to become one of these. But after this year, I'm like, no way ever would I want to do this. Not that I really wanted to before, but I don't want to be a politician. I do not want to serve the public, campaign, trash people, then be in charge of like a pandemic response. Not to mention racial injustice, not to mention just everything in general that's going on in the world. I want no part of that. I do not want to be a politician. I'd rather help at a low level. I don't want to be a politician.
I agree. That sounds like a responsibility that's just like not worth it.
I know. And like, and I guess like now, I mean, we all have our opinions and our beliefs about politicians and governments and what they're doing. But like at the end of the day, they have to make decisions, and they're not necessarily easy decisions, because there's always going to be someone that's, you know, upset. And obviously each person has their own viewpoints, and they naturally, you know, side with people who share the same viewpoints. But there's always an opposing viewpoint and like an opposing group. And I just, oh my God, like even, you know, here in Victoria where they've had to go back into lockdown, like, yeah, not happy, but like, and you can be mad and everything, but he still looks miserable. Like this could not be fun having to run this show. It just can't be fun. And I'm just not interested. I would rather sit back, help a girl out, drink some wine, you know, raise awareness, try and make some change. But no, I'm not going to run for office. So you don't have to worry about voting for me.
Yeah, no, count us out.
I think that for people who want to be a politician, go for it. Chase those dreams. But I think that there are other ways to make a difference as well, you know, that doesn't involve. I just think that it would just get too, and it would be too hard, you know, being married and having kids, having a family. Like, it would be so hard to juggle that. I don't know how people do it. I admire people who are in politics because it also it's over my head. Like, what are they even doing? Don't even understand. So that's on my anti-bucket list as well.
Yeah, I get most of my, like, political understandings from watching John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. So that's where my sources are, I guess. And he breaks it down and it makes sense and he has funny videos and that's what I need.
Katie is all about that. So there you have it, everyone. Let's just recap very quickly. You will not find us serving in the Oval Office, cage diving with sharks, snacking on some crunchy prawn with eyes, cuddling up to carpenter pythons around our neck Britney Spears style, slingshotting through the universe on a janky carnival ride, starving ourselves before going on a wine tour to soak up the wine, not ideal, and last but certainly not least, you won't find us on a Spirit Airlines flight, except honestly, you probably will if it's cheap enough, because we always say that and we always go, yeah, no, I'm not going back on that airline. And everybody does it with whatever airline that they've had an issue with. But then the moment arises, you got to get somewhere. You want to be there. You don't want to spend that much money and you just kind of fall for it again. So I guarantee you it'll happen one time on our adventures and it's going to be fine. It is casual. So thank you everyone for listening to our anti-bucket list episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope this maybe gave you some inspo on, you know, what do you want to put on your bucket list? What do you want to have as priorities? And what do you want to set aside and be like, yeah, nah. And it's okay. You should own it. If you don't want to do something, if something makes you uncomfortable, whether it's going on a ride, eating something, you know, doing something in your career, you should own it. Instead of, we're under so much pressure all the time to do everything and try everything and be the best version of ourselves and all of that. But it's okay to not like everything or to not want to do everything. You know, you don't want to make yourself uncomfortable. And yes, it's good to kind of step out of your comfort zone sometimes. But if you feel confident in things that you're like, I do not want to go there, don't go there. Katie and I are here to support you 100%. We back you. But we do want to hear about your anti-bucket list and your bucket list. Please help a girl out. Share some inspo. We're going to get it going. And we're going to have, you know, a lot of inspiration floating around so that everybody can figure out what they want to do and what they don't want to do. And don't forget to help Katie out by letting her know if you have, in fact, been notified of a Spirit Airlines competition in the middle of a flight, because she does need to know. I know this is driving her crazy. So thank you for listening to Help a Girl Out. We look forward to the next episode and never hesitate to get in touch. We love hearing from you and we are always happy to help a girl out.